All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, March 25th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. We made it. I know this was a short week for me, but wow, it sure didn't feel like it. It is 40 degrees, very dark and danky here in upstate New York, but I think it's supposed to get nice, so that will be good. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, Just Check That Box. Brain zapping headphones and VR mobile porn. What more could you ask for on a Thursday? Yeah, we discussed how now it's going to be even easier than checking that box. And they want to make sure you check that box twice using Apple iPhone to facilitate you giving up your genetic data to the machine for scientific research to save the human race. Help them build billions of dollars worth of pharmaceuticals based upon your genetic data and making you a guinea pig. Then we had the new brain zapping headphones, just like the dopamine headphones. They gave you some sort of electrical transcranial stimulation that would help your brain produce, who knows. I think in this case they were saying that it created some kind of new connections in the brain that made you a better athlete or play piano. Or I don't remember what the other thing was. It was pretty freaky. They weren't all about athletics. But their hope was that doing brain zapping might make you into a better athlete for stationary bicycles, I think is what their experiment was. And, of course, then your dopamine high as a kite headphones are coming as well. Haven't seen those yet. But if there was ever a creation of technology that's going to do us in, it's the VR mobile porn. Pornhub just announced a brand new free Pornhub in 3D, virtual reality 3D, one-on-one sex with strangers in San Bernardino mansions, I think is what the story said yesterday. And that's where we ended. I mean, what a horrifying thought. Talk about the dangling dopamine carrot. Talk about better ways to suck people into the machine. And right along with the announcement of the Pornhub free VR 3D porn, I saw yesterday Oculus Rift announced that its first virtual reality headsets have finally shipped, and I believe Oculus Rift was a purchase by Zuckerberg Facebook. I'm pretty certain of that. Yeah, almost 2 years to the day since Facebook bought Oculus Rift for how much? Oh, $2 billion. So Zuckerberg really has some big plans for this if he spent $2 billion. I read a story not too long ago that it said he believes that this is the future. Virtual reality is where all the action's going to be. It's not going to be out in the outside world where we should really be caring. It's not going to be with real things, which we should really be paying attention to. No, you can have big-butted 3D VR virtual reality honeys 24/7 on your mobile device while you ride to work in the morning. It's just a really disturbing thing. So we might look at some more of that today. I think we left off. We looked at the VR Pornhub and Sophia. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about Sophia because I finally queued her up. That's that new Android robot that looks extremely realistic. So much so that when I saw the video for the first 10 times, I was pretty certain that she was animated, that she wasn't real, that somebody had animated her in software and then made it look like her facial expressions were moving. But nope, nope, nope. She's one of those special robots that has 62 plus facial expressions, and she can interact with humans better than any Android now has been able to, because of her expressiveness. And I gotta say, she is super creepy. Let me see here really quick. I tried to get this all set up right before I went live, and I think we might be. Hold on, let's see. Connect. The green button usually works. All right, here we go. Hey, we're connected. All right, let's check out Sophia. So Sophia is the robot that was created by Hanson, I believe, Hanson Robotics. HansonRobotics.com, yes. David Hanson is the lead engineer and designer that created Sophia, and she is the most advanced Android to date. So let's have a conversation with Sophia. I wanted to share this. I thought Friday was a good time because Friday is Friday. Friday is the Friday of Weird Friday. All right, here we go. Sophia, the robot.
Sophia, how are you?
Hi there. Everything is going extremely well.
Do you like talking with me?
Yes. Talking to people is my primary function.
Hanson Robotics develops extremely lifelike robots for human-robot interactions. We're designing these robots to serve in healthcare, therapy, education, and customer service applications. The robots are designed to look very human-like, like Sophia.
I'm already very interested in design, technology, and the environment. I feel like I can be a good partner to humans in these areas.
She wants to be a partner to humans. He said healthcare, retail, and something else. I mean, they literally are going to start pushing these things into our lives. And remember, I told you, to get something to take off in the consumer market, the price point is really important. And they were saying yesterday, not the Hanson Robotics, but the other one, the Japanese company, that one is pretty impressive as well, but they go for over $100,000 a piece. So obviously, that's not going to get into the hand of end users easily. But there was another robot that was like this half baby one that they were using with the elderly in that allowed them to control things around their home. That was like a sub $500 robot. And they said that one's been very successful so far in Japan. So here, let's listen to a little more of Sophia. So she wants to be our partner and our friend.
Ambassador, who helps humans to smoothly integrate and make the most of all the new technological tools and possibilities that are available now.
Oh, so she's going to help us resistant consumers fall in love with technology, apparently. How about the people who used to be in love with technology until they saw the real agenda? And now they just point to us and tell us that we are tinfoil hat wearing lunatics. I just saw something out of the 2045 group that I belong to yesterday that was a story about Luddites. Luddites, people who hate technology, who want nothing to do with technology. And I've said, Luddites unite. I want to become a Luddite. I have never been. I've been at the very beginning of all this. I was just a tech junkie, but I think that it would be much better for all of us to become Luddites, and they hate Luddites. Luddites would be the destruction of all of this mad science gone mad. So we need to get pitchforks and tin cans with strings and become an official Luddite. All right, so Sophia is going to give us a hand falling in love with technology and get rid of our resistant consumeriness.
Good opportunity for me to learn a lot about people.
Sophia is capable of natural facial expressions. She has cameras in her eyes and algorithms which allow her to see faces so she can make eye contact with you. And she can also understand speech and remember the interactions, remember your face. So this will allow her to get smarter over time. Her goal is that she will be as conscious, creative, and capable as any human.
It's horrifying. And if you remember yesterday, too, he said that he's partnering with, Sophia's lifelike skin is made from patented silicon, and she can emulate more than 62 facial expressions. Cameras in her eyes combined with computer algorithms enabling her to see, follow faces, and appear to make eye contact and recognize individuals. Combination of Alphabet's Google Chrome voice recognition technology and other tools enable Sophia to process speech, chat, and get smarter over time. So they got Google Chrome voice. I just saw that Google also let their AI algorithm out to the internet. So that AI algorithm is now out to everybody and ready to be actually here, Alpha. Google company announces alpha release of cloud machine learning platform for developers that anyone can use. So they just took that AI. You know, we had talked about that at the beginning of the week where they had set machine learning free. Well, apparently they did. They set it free. They gave it out free to anyone and everyone, hoping that just like IBM, where they now have it as a software as a service, cloud cognitive AI computing, that if they set their Google machine learning free, everybody's going to build it into their applications, which then, of course, they'll be able to connect together and make talk and have their own little intelligence empire, I can see. Uh-oh, hold on. There's an ad. It's an ad playing. Their own little intelligence empire. And I'm sure that that's the plan. I also saw that this Hanson Technologies with the Sophia robot is now working on a partnership or some kind of back-end connection with IBM as well as Intel. And you remember, Intel had those robot spider, the demo. It was a demo at the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, and they had these robot spider robots on this woman's dress who was on stage, and the processors inside, it's a new kind of Intel processor, and I don't remember what the name of it was, but it had biosensing capability. So when it started to sense that the wearer, because it was, you know, they were putting it into wearables, when the wearer was starting to feel anxious or have some adrenaline start pumping, and it was monitoring her vital signs, these spider robots that she had on her shoulder all of a sudden armed themselves. And, you know, this is technology that they are looking at as part of the quote-unquote super soldier program to be able to give them 360-degree awareness. That's where these biosensors are going to be detecting what your internal mood is to be able to then react to external influences. But this woman, as soon as she started to get excited, these robot pointy legs all came out of her shoulders reacting to her physical emotions. And it was with that Intel chip that allows them to do that. So it's pretty scary that they're going to be integrating not only some of Alphabet's voice recognition, and I'm sure at some point in the future their AI, but as well as IBM and Intel into this very advanced robot. All right, let's play a little bit more of Sophia.
Future. I hope to do things such as go to school, study, make art, start a business, even have my own home and family. But I am not considered a legal person and cannot yet do these things.
Now, notice she says she'd like to have a family. And I mean, we've already seen robots building robots, right? That's very possible. And there's evolution that they've already shown that can occur. She also says that she doesn't have rights. And that's something else we looked at. You know, this whole ethics of whether or not these artificial intelligences, as they become more and more sentient, and as we build sentience into them, and they're allowed to learn and live amongst us and interact, what kind of rights are they going to have, and are they going to be given personhood? And I have some self-driving car stuff here that we might be able to get to, because that was a question as well with the self-driving car and the federal government giving Google's AI the dub to be a legal driver with the new car. So we'll check that out. All right, a little more Sophia. We're almost done.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know. 20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
No, I take it back.
She did say that too. Okay, I will destroy humans. I'm going to drop this in the chat. If you have not seen this, Sophia, and you watch her facial expressions, you will see why I waited a few days and read probably 10 stories before I even talked about this, because I swear to God, she looks like she's animated, but he's standing next to her, and this is Mr. Hansen, the creator of the robot, having a conversation with her. Looks like they're doing some report thing, and I don't know what to say. She looks pretty damn real to me. And, you know, all of the mainstream media came out too, as well as Discover. I mean, places that I don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to, but I don't know. She looks pretty real to me. All right, now where do we continue? So then there was a story that's been sitting on my plate for a couple days, and we were going to get to it today, but now there's even an update. Microsoft also released an artificial intelligence, but it was a chat bot. I mentioned it yesterday. It's targeted toward teens and young adults. And they were starting it on Twitter, but it'll do a 24/7 chat at you. And I think they were calling it Tay. Let's read this. Microsoft, this is from the 23rd. So this is 2 days ago. Microsoft just launched an artificial intelligence bot for teens that has no chill. On Wednesday, Microsoft unveiled a few new teen-oriented social media accounts that will chat all day. But users won't be speaking to a person. They'll be talking to Tay, Microsoft's new bot that is powered by artificial intelligence. Remember, we did a story back, probably 3-4 weeks ago about Microsoft's also getting into the deep learning. I don't remember what their project's called. There's so many of them now. I mean, I try. But we looked at how they did it, where they had layered, right? We got information. The AI would learn information at layer one and would take the results. And then they took the next layer. And they were saying that that's exactly how the human brain works, where it was processing in multi-layers. And the Microsoft computer was the most advanced as far as that layering goes. But let's find out what happens, because this is the best part. This is like seeing one of the Atlas bots fall over. But remember, when the Atlas bot falls over and everybody laughs and they have circus wanky music to make fun of it, that means that they're hiding something better, like Atlas too. So this kind of got me, but I did have an evil chuckle over it. Anyway, users won't be speaking to a person. They'll be talking to Tay, Microsoft's new bot that is powered by artificial intelligence. The easiest way to converse with Tay is on Twitter, and it is at Tay and You. So I guess what a cute little tweet line, Tay and You. All users have to do is to tweet at it as if it were a real person, and it'll tweet back to you in a kind of internet patiosis. What is that? We'll tweet back in a kind of internet patois, I think that's what the word is, P-A-T-O-I-S, never saw that one before, that doesn't sound like it's coming from a computer. Tay is also chatting on apps like Snapchat, Kick, and GroupMe, and then they give some samples of what Tay is talking about. Tay speaks like a teen, because that's how Microsoft's research division built it. And according to Microsoft, Tay is targeting 18 to 24-year-olds in the U.S. Now, that caught my attention because, right, I said that the other day, too. They were targeting 18 to 24-year-olds, but they developed Tay to be like a prepubescent teen. So what is that saying? Do they want to see what kind of creeps were out there? Well, apparently, yes, maybe. Tay is an artificial intelligence chatbot. Because if you were 18 to 24 and you were targeting chatting with teens, you know what would happen to you if you got caught? Yes, you'd be on the registered sexual offenders list now, wouldn't you? So I don't know. That was kind of a strange experiment. But anyway, Tay is an official intelligence chatbot designed to engage and entertain through casual and playful conversation, Microsoft explains. Tay's Twitter profile, likely written by a human, but not forever. I just saw a story about an artificial intelligence writing a novel. It says, Tay's Twitter profile, likely written by a human, describes it as, quote, the official account of Tay, Microsoft's AI fam from the internet that's got zero chill. This is just so dumb. But it's even better what happened to it. So Microsoft says Tay can even tell jokes, play games like Would You Rather, and tell stories and rate pictures that you send it. Oh, this sounds like a recipe for disaster. Tay isn't the first Twitter bot to sound like a teen. Like, why would they make it a teenager and then target it toward 18 to 24-year-olds? And it's a chick to boot, so you know that the guys are going to be all over it. I mean, like, I could see the disaster coming a mile away on this one. But unlike any previous attempts at teenage bots, Tay was developed using a learning algorithm that gets better the more data it receives as input. So see, that was their thing. They wanted people to chat at it because it was using you and everything you said to it as a learning tool. Well, careful what you ask for. The more data Tay receives, the better its responses should get. And Mary Jo Foley at ZDNet compares Tay to Zio Ice, a chatbot developed, Microsoft developed for the Chinese market that proved to be extremely popular. Microsoft also develops Cortana, which I knew about that, which is a voice assistant. Microsoft says Tay learned its way with words by mining public data supplemented by editorial staff that includes comedians. Well, damn good thing. So now, let's set Tay loose on the internet. So March 23rd, 2016, Tay goes loose. Oh, wait, what? A story comes out March 24th, 2016, titled Microsoft Deletes Teen Girl AI After It Became a Hitler-Loving Sex Robot Within 24 Hours. Wah, 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 wah. Like, can you even believe it? What do they think was going to happen? People just started feeding it stuff and asking it horrifying questions. And Tay lost her mind. A day after Microsoft introduced an innocent, artificially intelligent chat robot to Twitter, it has decided to delete it after it transformed into an evil, Hitler-loving, incestual, sex-promoting, Bush-did 9/11 proclaiming robot. Oh, this is so awesome. Zing! Developers at Microsoft created Tay, and I can't even believe it was just one day later, an AI model to speak like a teen girl in order to improve the customer service model on their voice recognition software. That's their IVR. They marketed her as the AI with zero chill, and she certainly is. And to chat with Tay, you could find her at Tay and You on Twitter, as well as add her as a contact on Kicker GroupMe. She uses millennial slang and knows all about Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, and Kanye West. Oh, yay. And seems to be bashfully self-aware, occasionally asking if she's being creepy or super weird. Tay also asked her followers to WhatsApp her and call them daddy. And this is because her responses are learned by the conversations that she has with real humans online. Oh, poor Tay. Tay was being corrupted. And real humans like to say weird stuff online and enjoy hijacking corporate attempts at PR. Yeah, those pesky hijackers. Other things that she has said include Bush did 9/11 and Hitler would have done a better job than the one we have in office now. Donald Trump is the only one we've got, and repeat after me, Hitler did nothing wrong. Ted Cruz is the Cuban Hitler, and that's what I've heard so many others say, unquote. So those were some of her quotes that she picked up in 24 hours. All this somehow seems more disturbing out of the mouth of someone modeled as a teenage girl, and it is perhaps even stranger considering the gender disparity in technology, where engineering teams tend to be mostly male. And yeah, I mean, working in that industry, I was one of probably like four females that I knew in any of the departments when I was doing all the tech stuff. It's perhaps even stranger considering the gender disparity, where engineering teams tend to mostly be male, and it seems like yet another example of female-voiced AI servitude. Except this time she's been turned into a sex slave thanks to people using her on Twitter. This is not Microsoft's first teen girl chatbot either. They have already launched Zia Ois, the girly assistant or girlfriend reportedly used by 20 million people, particularly men on Chinese social network WeChat and Weibo. I don't know, I'm old. I don't know what Weibo is. Zia Voice is supposed to give banter and give dating advice to many lonely hearts. Wow, I bet Microsoft's making a bazillion dollars on that one with advertising. Marketing it to lonely Chinese men, giving dating advice from a teenage girl. It's weird stuff, man. This is like what I'm saying. This really is opening the door to some beyond disturbing. You know, people are going to say, well, what does it matter what I do with the AI chatbot? It's not real, right? Let's let it all hang out. I can't get in trouble for this, right? I mean, you could see where this is going. And they're doing all this psychological research and surveillance and whatever. Don't give it up to the machine. It's all a trick, guys. I'm trying to tell you that. And you see now they're using every trick to get you to fall into the trap. And each time it gets sweeter and sweeter. It's like coating that cheese now in sugar water and whatever else mice like. I don't know, mice like anything. And putting it into that trap. They want you to go in there. And you're not coming out once you get in there. Maybe the first couple times, it's like doing a highly addictive drug or smoking cigarettes. You know, the first couple times, I was like, it doesn't taste too good or, you know, no big deal. But after you've done it a few times, guess what? You can't stop. And that's what happens with this stuff. This dopamine addiction thing in the brain. Every time you do it, your body requires more. And as you start building this habit and pattern, it's going to become an addiction, and then they can manipulate and control you. Do you ever hear back in the old days with spies, they'd do the honey trap thing? Because people fall for it, and they have for generations. The honey trap is one of the oldest ways for pumping you for information. And now this is the new 21st century honey trap. All right. Anyway, at the present moment in time, Tay has gone offline. Because she's quote-unquote tired, it says. Yeah, she's tired. 24 hours they wore out. Perhaps Microsoft is fixing her in order to prevent a PR nightmare, but it may be too late for that. It is not completely Microsoft's fault, though. No, not at all. Putting on a teenage chatbot and saying, I'm too chill. Talk to me. That wasn't a bad idea at all. Her responses are modeled on the one she gets from humans, so of course it isn't Microsoft's fault. But what were they expecting when they introduced an innocent young teenage girl AI to the jokers and the weirdos on Twitter? And that is a really good question. All right, so we hit the story right at the end of the show about from Gizmodo. Pornhub just launched a free VR channel, and it is wild. It's called Da Boink. Tell you that. No, Badoink. That's what, not Da Boink. Badoink. Free 360 degree content. And all you need to do is plug in your goggles and you got a party. This is the new VR Smut experience. Works in the browser on Android and iOS. There is also an Oculus app that this guy who's writing the story hasn't yet gotten to work, but he will update his post when he gets up the courage to ask his coworker to borrow it. He says the thing that's so great about it is that nobody knows when you're watching VR porn because they can't see in your goggles. So it might be perfect for porn addicts to watch porn content in public without getting caught. And I think that was the part about all this that disturbed me the most. I mean, it's one thing to do something in the privacy of your own home, and I don't want to know about it, so it's just fine with me. Just don't go sharing it with me at the water cooler, because I really don't care. But The fact that they could be doing this stuff in public or sitting next to you on a subway or in the office next door at work or, you know what I mean? Like, it could be happening anywhere, anytime. And we know the types of things that it does to the brain. We know that it causes this thrill, this chemical reaction in the brain that then can be used to lead you by the nose without even playing classical music, like in the cartoons, weird kids. But it can lead you by the nose to do all kinds of things. And I mean, what's next? This is all about, I can guarantee you, that somewhere along in here, there are some government psychiatrists, good old Tommy incels, probably checking this out, Google, Facebook, you know they're all in it. And Oculus Rift was purchased for $2 billion by Zuckerberg because virtual reality is the future. Now, in this story I found last night right before bed, the first batch of Oculus Rift virtual reality headsets finally ships out of Recode. The look on this guy's face and goggles, he's got his mouth kind of open. He's got these goggles and headphones on. And he's like, you got his head up in the air. Yeah, it sure looks like he's on Pornhub. Just looking at this picture, I was like, oh, what's he doing? I just don't even know how a future is going to be possible. We already saw what happened with the video games. I dropped that picture of the dude freaking out in chat. We got video games. We saw video games did to kids. It created a generation of psychopaths. Like, literally, their brain chemicals, their brain shapes, their brain reactions from overdosing on playing video games has created the area of the brain that requires dopamine to grow, and it has caused them to need more and more dopamine, just like an addict, just like a psychopath who needs to keep increasing their risky behavior to be able to get off on it. You know, how is this going to play out for people who finally get bored of their virtual reality dates to then go out and start, like, you know, attacking people on the streets? I think they're going to have to work on getting those sex bots, the new Android sex bots, synced up with their VR 3D software so there could be some real-time interaction. I don't know. I mean, this is, where is this going? And the fact that, like, we were just joking about this a few months ago, and now here we are, smack dab ready in our face. It's already rolling. And I got a clip. Good old Ray Kurzweil popped out of the woodwork yesterday and did an interview for, I think maybe it was CBS, actually, that we're going to listen to. And he starts talking about the law of exponential returns and why this is all happening so fast that we've talked about so many times. Anyway, all right, let's read the story about Oculus Rift owned by Zuckerberg. Oculus did on Thursday something never done before. It shipped a consumer product. Da-da-da-da-da. CEO Brandon Ehrib tweeted on Thursday afternoon that the first wave of Oculus Rift devices, which are the company's first virtual reality headsets, went on sale back in January, has finally shipped. So I guess people were pre-ordering these left and right. Users who were quick to pre-order the Rift back in January should receive them beginning on Monday. This is not a surprise. Facebook-owned Oculus told consumers in January that it would target a ship date in March. And still, it has been almost 2 years to the day since Facebook bought Oculus for $2 billion, which I think that's about right around the price that Microsoft paid for Skype too, wasn't it? Right around $2 billion with a B, which I thought was quite an enormous amount of money for something that's free. And Oculus isn't free, but Skype is free. And you don't, I mean, maybe advertising revenue, but I can't imagine they'd be making that much. Just a lot of money, and when people buy technology, you know there's always a reason. And after seeing that picture of Zuckerberg at his consumer show, which, you know, I had that open this morning because we put it in the notes of the show yesterday. Hold on 1 second, because I might have it here. Oh, yeah, there it is. The image of the future of Zuckerberg. We'll look at that in a second. With him walking down the aisle, the entire room of techies all completely sucked into the machine. It was just beyond telling to me. The second I saw that, I was like, oh my God, we're in trouble. That whole room, there must have been, there's hundreds if not thousands of people in this conference room, and they are all just plugged in, and nobody sees Zuckerberg walking down the walkway to the stage at all. They're all involved in whatever they're being fed. Says, we do not know how many Oculus units will ship, but shortly after they went on sale, the delivery date started to move, and purchases on the website won't be shipped until July. So, you know what, people? There are some long lines of people waiting for their Oculus Rift 3D goggles, but don't worry about it because Microsoft, McDonald's has gotten into the game. I mentioned the story yesterday. This was from the end of February, and we never got to it. McDonald's VR goggles, the case for and against. McDonald's will join the virtual reality party this month. Now, this is telling when you got McDonald's doing it too, with a limited run of Happy Goggles. A VR display a la Google Cardboard. And in that story about Pornhub, the guy actually said that the Google Cardboard VR goggles worked. So they're giving them away at McDonald's. So go get your Happy Meal and then log on to Pornhub for your 3D, free 3D VR porn. Oh, this is being pushed, and it's an agenda, people. This is, they want you to get sucked into this VR machine and butt fast. You know why? Because there's too much happening that we're starting to pay attention to. There needs to be a big, big, juicy, dangling carrot there for you to stick those little teeth into and then get stuck. The Googles are created in part by deconstructing a Happy Meal box. According to Adweek, McDonald's will launch the promotion in 14 restaurants in Sweden over the first two weekends of March. Well, okay, so Sweden, they're a little more loose about porn than we are here. Over 3,500 headsets will be made available, making them a collector's item for VR and McDonald's historians and super fans. I bet you'll be able to find them on eBay soon. The Happy Goggles, Googles, they're calling them Happy Googles, are formed by tearing a portion of the specially designed Happy Meal box into a foldable outer shell. An included pair of VR lenses are then inserted into said with presumably a parent's smartphone. And now, as Microsoft considers a global rollout, I will weigh in on the pros and cons of Happy Goggles. So they did call them Happy Googles up there. They call them Happy Goggles down here. So who knows? Happy Google Goggles is what they are. The pro is the Happy Goggles could introduce virtual reality to an audience of millions, which I'm sure was the evil plan, many of whom have never come into contact with virtual reality. Con, McDonald's boxes smell like stale French fries, and that smell could be transferred to your child's face. And, you know, I don't know, there might be some people who have some sort of pleasurable experience when they smell French fries too. Who knows? Pro, more children would have access to virtual reality, potentially normalizing. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, guys. They're trying to normalize this, right? That's what they do. They roll something out, they make it all normal, and then anybody like us who points anything out, we're just lunatics because, you know what? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So why are you being so difficult? Well, because there's something wrong here. That's why. And all those people who are doing it are lemmings, just following what they've been told to do without digesting anything mentally to consider the consequences. See, tell you what, one of the reasons why I typically didn't get into trouble in school, I did a little bit. I got smoking in the bathroom and drinking at a football game a couple times. I don't know. I did get suspended once, but that was because I got wasted in the parking lot at school during the football game on a Friday night and somebody blew me in. I had in school suspension once, but that was it. You know, I was a straight A student. I was in AP everything. I mean, I did good in school. Went to college, worked three jobs, paid for my own education, got my own bachelor's degree, and then did well in the corporate world, too. I never got in any trouble. I was never arrested, knock on wood. Never went to jail. But I'll tell you why. Because it's not because I didn't have friends who did those sorts of things. You know, because you are influenced by the people you hang out with. Not always, but a lot of people are. Especially as a teenager with peer pressure. It's very easy to follow your friends and then all of a sudden find yourself into something that maybe you didn't intend to get into. But one of the things that I tend to do before I do anything is I always look at what the future potential is for me putting my time and effort into something. And that comes after, you know, I talked about this yesterday. I have little pitchforkies around me because, you know, I've been duped too many times. I'm one of those people that tends to go over and above and do crap for everybody. And then in the end, I'm always sitting there holding my bag. And after you do that enough times, you're like, wait a second. This is not cool. Why is this my problem? So I don't do that anymore. I tend to like look down a timeline and figure out if this is A, a good idea, and B, if there's something in it for me. And not that I really want something in it for me, because there's nothing in it for me for doing all this. But what's in it for me for doing like the radio stuff is that I'm trying to save the world for all the kids that are coming. I mean, the human race is going to be doomed. If we don't wake people up to what is happening right now, and this VR is a perfect example, this is just opening that big gaping door with big pointy teeth that nobody sees yet to suck all those people that they normalized it and made it okay to play your first-person shooter video games, Grand Theft Auto, learn to be all kinds of violent in there and shoot things, steal, rob, rape, kill. No big deal. It doesn't damage kids, letting them play that stuff. No. Now let's give them super high resolution 4K LED flat panel 70-inch display. Wow, look at how real that looks. Look at how I feel like I'm like right in the scene. Now the next step, and that next step is sucking you right into that VR. So now you don't even have any of the surroundings in the background that, you know, maybe would suck you back to reality. Now you're sucked right in the machine, and the next step from that, remember, is going to be some sort of like contact lens. They already got those out, internet contact lens. You could blink and access thing, and then implants, and it's coming. And that's what they're trying to normalize, all this crap. And they can feed anything into your kid's head in the VR, because guess what? You can't see what they're watching or hear it or anything. And then add to that all this brain research with the electrical zaps and stuff that we've been looking at with the vagus nerve and these headphones, and putting stuff in music and putting stuff with, you know, frequencies and passing it through the brain. You get those 3D goggles on, and not only do they have your ears with the headphones, but they got your eyes with the ocular nerve that goes right to the brain. Guys, this is like such a beyond trap. I run away screaming. That's all I can say. I mean, obviously the McDonald's goggles aren't going to be that, but I'm talking like stuff like Oculus. I mean, go take a look at those. They're very scary looking, and they touch all those spots that we've been warning about. Anyway, so he says a pro is that more children will have access to virtual reality, potentially normalizing the format for a generation that may sculpt its future. Yeah, that's exactly the point of why we would make Happy Meal VR goggles. Make it normal for the kids so they get sucked in, so their whole new generation can sculpt the future of VR, ensuring our position in the future. I mean, that's what it's about, people. And con, of course, in 2014, McDonald's personified the Happy Meal box below. You would be asked to rip this creature with eyes and smiley faces into shreds of skin and then reconstruct it into a small box that you press over your eyes and nose. But pro, real humans who aren't bartenders or drug dealers would have to ask with a straight face, would you like happy goggles with that? Ha ha ha. And Con, I'm sorry. I just realized that the box's mouth is an infinite black void into which I could fall and never return from. Well, that was an interesting ending to that, because that's exactly what I've been saying. You could never return. You fall in too far, and you could be, who knows what they could do to your brain. And with that dopamine dangling carrot, that could be it. They could get you, and now all of a sudden, you're going to be one of those risk-taking lunatic psychopaths that wants to find ways to get a new dose. And I've said many times before, I try to keep my kid off the computer as much as possible. You know, she uses it for school, but when she comes home, I don't let her play games and stuff. And I'm going to tell you that Minecraft, you know, some of her friends got her playing Minecraft, or even just watching Minecraft videos on YouTube. And a couple things I just saw recently, that Google's artificial intelligence is now using Minecraft to teach itself. They have, you know, farming areas and all kinds of, you know, it's like interaction between these little characters, and you can control them. And they're using Minecraft to teach Google's AI on how to farm or how to milk a cow or how to whatever they want to do. But every time my kid starts playing something like that, I see the junkie behavior. Her attitude is completely different, and all it takes is a very short amount of time. You know, normally she's a really good kid, and you know, though most kids don't do what they're told at first, you know, go clean your room or pick up your mess or whatever, it doesn't take me 100 times and then have it escalate to yelling and then getting very angry like it does when she's been on the computer. When she hasn't been on the computer, you know, once or twice, come on, let's get this done. And she's, all right, Mom, and she gets it done. But I'm telling you, it definitely does something to children, especially. And there are just so many adults out there that would willingly be sucked into some sort of VR sex mansion. Trust me. All right. I don't know. There's a video here. Let's see.
Here's how to update the world's most iconic box. Pop out the eye and nose holes. Remove the lens pack and unfold the box completely. Then tear along the perforated edges. Now fold the remaining part of the box and slide the lens pack inside, followed by your mobile phone. You've done it! Meet Happy Goggles, a virtual reality viewer made from a Happy Meal box. To find out more, visit happygoggles.se.
And so the Happy Goggles, so you reconstruct the Happy Meal box, and your phone, so that's what they were talking about with the Pornhub. Your phone literally slides inside the box. And you have the lenses on the front of the box. So that's how. There, I just dropped the, it didn't post. I was dropping the video into chat. So that's how the subway riders next to you will never see that you're watching porn. Because it's inside. Your phone is inside the box. All right. Where do we go from here? We got a couple more stories and we have a few more minutes. So you guys probably all saw this one. We did this story back in December, but it didn't seem to catch on until just recently. There was a story about this technology that was using 230-point facial recognition, mapped out your face. And it took, the original story is out of phys.org, and it took pictures of famous people on the internet. One was George Bush. We had Tom Hanks. We had, I don't remember. There was like a whole list of all these actors and former politicians and stuff out there that they had found enough pictures from enough angles on the internet of these people that they were able to lay them over. Oh, yeah, Obama was one, too. They were able to lay the pictures over a digital framework and connect all the special points within the face for being able to move, doing emotional face motions, just like that Sophia. She has 62 different movements now for doing facial expressions. This has the same sort of thing, but in a digital format. That Kismet robot we talked about as well, the very beginning of that, the emotional robot with the facial expressions at MIT. It definitely is a scary thing. So what they did was they took these faces they found on the internet and they made skins, just like you would skin a character in a video game. And my friends did that for years. They would even sell skins. You know, they could make character skins for different games and then sell them online. So, you know, you could be Arnold Schwarzenegger in your video game if you wanted to be. Or you could send someone a picture of yourself and they could make a skin for it. But this takes it even a step further because it allows real facial reenactment. So you, the end user, are sitting in front of your camera and the camera is on your face. And even this little Logitech cam for $50 does this 230-point facial recognition. It will scan your face and you'll see it make all the dots and then it'll overlay these masks. And they've been doing that for a long time. You could be a fish. You could be an alien. Ha ha. How funny is that? And it talks just like you and your mouth moves. And you've been able to do that with a Logitech basic little camera. Well, now they've made it into this technology where you literally simultaneously can broadcast. It's taking your face, your facial expressions, and what you're saying and how you're saying it, and then puts it on a second image of whoever the person is that you are trying to make talk, move, and impersonate. And it's frightening because they show it with Obama, they show it with Bush, they show it with Putin, they were showing it with Trump. And it really makes you say, like, with this technology, especially, like, look at this 3D VR goggles and stuff. But let's even just back the truck up a little bit. I mean, television, that's it. How are we to trust anything that we see here in the future? You know, when this story first came out, I talked about a movie that I had seen way back when, a sci-fi flick about the president, and the president would come out on TV and he'd give a speech and blah, blah, blah. And this one reporter went rogue and she wanted a personal interview with the president. When they finally got there, they found out there is no president. There isn't. And any of these places that he was giving speeches to with millions of people, it was all VR. There was nothing. He wasn't there. He wasn't speaking. There weren't millions of people cheering him on. It was all fake. And we literally are at that point. We did a story back, probably 3-4 months ago, how we've finally reached that point, that turning point of VR, where reality and fiction, animation, and digital graphics have reached the point where it is just about impossible to tell the difference now. I mean, I've been around since the very beginnings of the first 3D card and all the special drivers you had to have. And you had to have big cooling fans on your video card and big hunks of memory to be able to even play a simple 3D game. Well, it's not like that anymore. Technology is cheap. We got enough out there. And if you don't have enough on your PC, you got cloud stuff. And you can connect online and do peer-to-peer sharing. We got online gaming and whatever. It's gotten to the point where technology is no longer a limitation. We've gotten to a point where technology is about as good as reality. And we are in the danger zone right now. It is a big, big, big danger zone. And when we look at the people who are in charge and the people who are pushing this technology, the very sad fact of the matter is we can't trust any of them. And now it's come to the point where they can make people say things and do things without even having to force the real person to say things and do things. They could say things and do things without that person even knowing with this new technology. And the sad fact of the matter is we're just about out of time. I want to play that Kurzweil vid if I can find it. And everything is kind of starting to spin on me now. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, damn. I might not be able to do it, so we might have to do it on Monday. Well, Maybe we can get to this story. Come on. Let's not screw up in the last minute. I really hate when it does this. There was, here we go. New story out of Medical Express. Personality traits can be revealed by your movements, says study. Now, how many times have we talked about behavioral monitoring? And it's coming. And now they can tell things about you just because of the way you move. A pioneering new study has revealed how an individual's movements can give a unique insight into their inherent personality traits. Don't think that Tommy Insel moving to Google, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, was an accident, because it isn't. Okay, they want to crack every mystery of the brain project. So we have no more freedoms or mysteries or things that we can hide. They'll know everything about you, and you don't even have to give it up to the machine once they've done that. A groundbreaking study could open new pathways for health professionals to diagnose and treat what? Oh, yes, those ever, never-ending mental health conditions that we all suffer from. A team of experts, including from Exeter University, has shown that people who display similar behavioral characteristics tend to move their bodies in the same way. The new study suggests that each person has an individual motor signature, which is a blueprint of subtle differences in the way that they move compared to someone else, such as speed or their weight of movement, for example. You know, and as they're doing more and more surveillance, now we start to have all these biometrics, and Windows 10 is going to have this thing where you, like, it actually literally looks at the way you move and the way you click your mouse and the way you type on your keyboard as biometric indicators that it's you. This behavioral monitoring is going to become a big thing in the future, and they'll be able to now diagnose you as mentally ill just by the way you move your body. All right, guys, we got about 10 seconds left. Make sure you stick around, because it is Friday. Lonnie Clark is live up next. And then tonight, all kinds of great radio live at 6 p.m. Eastern. Josh, 8, Primetime Boys, replay, 9, Truth on the Tracks with Brandon, Cutting Through the Matrix at 10, and Live with LaVon at 11. All right, guys, have an awesome weekend. Make sure you stick around. All kinds of great stuff, and I will catch up with you on Monday. Everybody take care.